And I want to welcome all of our guests that are watching online today. You're part of our family, whether you're catching this on Facebook Live or on our website or listening to a CD or a podcast. We don't have tapes, but just about every media. But we're so thankful that you're watching online today and you're part of our family. Can we give our online guests a big round of applause this morning? Yeah. And so we are continuing the sermon series called You Ask For It. You ask for this today. And Pastor Higgins said that this is a PG-rated message, and so it is. It is. But it was actually a question that was asked a couple of different times. And, you know, we received some really great questions, some really deep theological questions, some questions that were not so deep. But then there were some tough questions. And guess what I get to do today? A tough question. So our topic today is pornography really a problem? Everyone just got real uncomfortable in here. It's so quiet. But if this topic makes you feel uncomfortable, try having to preach an entire sermon on it. You asked for this. But speaking of uncomfortable, I was studying for this message at Starbucks, and I was reading this article. Author John Bevere wrote lots of books. His wife, Lisa Bevere, and they write all kinds of Christian books. And so one of the articles I had up was early on in his ministry. He had a serious addiction to pornography. And so the website that I had up on my screen, it said, Overcoming My Addiction to Pornography. It was in big letters on my computer screen. So I was just studying. I was reading it. It was a great, you know, it was a great, great article. And I didn't realize somebody was standing right behind me. And so I turn around, and there's this lady right behind me. And I caught her looking at my screen. And then she looks at me, and her face gets so red. Like five shades of red, and she's like trying to look away and do it everything. And then I get embarrassed. My face turns five shades of red, and I was like, oh my goodness. I wanted to say, I'm studying for a sermon. I didn't get to tell her this, but I'm studying for a sermon. I'm going to tell other people. And then there's just no way. I was so embarrassed. And I'm probably going to see her next Sunday at Starbucks. And I'm the creepy guy at Starbucks now. The creepy guy at Starbucks. So this is an uncomfortable topic. It's a tough topic. But as a church, if we don't tackle topics like this, then we shy away from the very things that are destroying our marriages, that are destroying our relationships, the very things that undermine and plague our relationship with God. If we don't get real, society will. If we don't get real, they'll get real in the schools, and your kids will hear about it. If we don't get real as the church, they're going to hear about it from someone else, and why not tell them what God says about these things? So society is not ashamed. It's not ashamed. There's a movie that came out not too long ago called 50 Shades of Grey. I know nobody in here will say they went and saw that. But that the books almost sold 450 million copies before it came to the theaters. And that's exactly where society is today. It's 50 Shades of Grey. There's no black and white anymore. There's 50 Shades of Grey. Everything's okay now. Unless you have a problem with it. Unless you say, that's wrong, then they have a problem with you. So everything's okay. And before we begin to answer the question, is pornography really a problem? Let's talk about where we got the word. The word actually comes from two Greek words. The first word is porneia. And that means harlot or prostitute or to sell. The second word is graphian, which means to write. In other words, pornography is literally the writing of harlots. or the selling of prostitution or lust. With a definition like that, could pornography be a problem? Yes. There is a problem with pornography. End of sermon. Thank you so much for coming today. I appreciate y'all coming today. Oh, I wish that was the end of this sermon. But pornography has invaded every area of society. It's on our TV sets, it's in movies, it's in sports, it's in music, it's in art, it's in news. You could go to Fox News or CNN and read a news article, and when you're done reading that news article, there's something at the bottom of the page that wants you to click on it. And that will lead you eventually to a pornographic website. So it's everywhere. It's in our news, it's in video games. I took my son to go play some video games at Evo, and we go to this hunting game. And we're gonna go play this hunting game, and we've got the little rifles, and then we're shooting at these wild animals, and then after we're done shooting at these wild animals, this half-naked lady shows up on the screen. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Maverick, we need to play another game. But it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And there's a little bit of pornography everywhere you go. And much of it goes unnoticed because we're acclimated to it. Sometimes it's even embraced. But it was once considered unacceptable has become completely normal. It's completely normal. Look at these statistics. A major study showed that 47% of Christians said that porn was a problem in the home. 47% of Christians said that porn was a problem in the home. The breakdown of visitors to pornographic websites is 65% male and 35% female. These sites get more visitors than Netflix, Amazon, Twitter combined. You know, the only website that gets more visitors is YouTube. But guess what is accessed most on YouTube? You guessed it. Pornography. The study showed that 20% of men admitted to accessing porn at work, with 13% of women admitting to the same thing. Over 40 million U.S. adults regularly visit internet pornography websites. Why am I sharing these statistics? Because the misconception is that this is only an issue for men. But pornography is a people problem. And it affects more people than you think. It's very quiet in here. But why is porn really a problem? Why is pornography really a problem? You hear things like, it's not real. It's not like I'm going out and cheating on my spouse. I'm just looking at it. I'm not hurting anyone. How does looking hurt you or anyone else? Here's what Jesus says about it in Matthew 5. He says, you have heard the commandment that says, you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman, or anyone with lust, has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Porn is a problem because Jesus says that looking is more than looking. That window shopping is actually buying. And here's what the point that Jesus is making. He says, looking and lusting is actually taking something that belongs to someone else. I'll say that again. Looking and lusting is taking something that belongs to someone else. What do you mean? The person on that computer screen that's being watched, or on a page, or even the words of a steamy novel. See, that creates an image in your head. And those people are someone's future wife, or future husband, or someone's current husband, or current wife. And even though they may not be living for God, they belong to him. They were made in his image. The biggest problem of pornography is that it's a distortion of God's plan. And the Bible uses porne in the following scripture. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 15, it says, "Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a porne or a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one with her?" That's talking about marriage. "For the scriptures say, the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Now, verse 18 goes on to say, "Run. Run from sexual sin." It says, "No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." So the Bible tells us to run from sexual immorality. And the reason why is pornography is actually classified in sexual immorality because it does something. It introduces an outside person or persons into a marital relationship originally designed by God between one man and one woman. Simply put, it's wrong because it's sex outside of marriage, even if you're not married. It's a desire for intimacy through counterfeit methods. So it says run, run. And the Greek word for run here is phugo. Phugo, that just sounds like a warning. Phugo. Somebody say phugo. When you see something like that, phugo, run away. It's a fun word to say. But it says phugo. It says to run away from it. It means to escape it. It means to make distance between it and yourself. Turn your eyes away from it. And it's funny, the Bible doesn't say this about anything else. The Bible doesn't say, run away from gossiping, or run away from lying, or run away from gluttony. But it tells us to run away from sexual immorality. There's a reason for it. The reason why God wants us to run from it is because He has a better plan. He's got a better plan. And in the beginning in the garden, man was made in the image of God, perfect and wholesome. And when God saw Adam alone in the garden, He said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And so Eve was created. And she was created to meet Adam's need for companionship. And Eve was created for Adam, and Adam for Eve. And the two came together in a lifelong relationship of marriage. And God created marriage even before sin entered the world. And the original design for sex was within the boundaries of marriage. And that design is far better than anything Satan offers. You see, God's plan is that you have a helpmate, a husband or a wife, a companion, a friend, a lover. Satan's plan is that you give yourself away to everyone and anyone, only helping yourself. No commitment, broken relationships, heartaches, broken homes, and broken families. God's plan is to give you a life-giving, one-flesh relationship where you put your spouse before yourself, just as Jesus gave Himself for the church, and that glorifies Him. Satan's plan is that you put yourself first. Gratify yourself. Don't wait for a godly relationship for intimacy. Lust after anyone and everyone. And here's the deal, folks. This is the same lie, the very same lie that Satan used in the garden with Adam and Eve, the temptation. What Satan is doing is he's suggesting to us that God is keeping something good from us. That's the suggestion, and that's the lie. And usually it begins with a thought that's very innocent sounding, such as, Oh, come on, women are beautiful. Look at them, they're beautiful. Look what the Lord has done. It's not hurting anybody. You remember Joey from Friends? When he'd see something like, what did we say? How you doing? It's not hurting anybody, right? We're just looking at the menu. We're not ordering anything. And we can justify things like this. Those are the lies that go into our head. We can make a justification for just about anything. We even do it with the movies that we watch. Oh, it's a great movie, but it's got that one sex scene in it. It's a great movie. It's just got that one scene in it. And so if we use that logic in other areas, I could tell you about this great birthday cake I'm going to make. I'm going to use the best icing. I'm going to sprinkle that awesome those little crunchy sweet things on top of it. I'm going to use flour and eggs. And what else do you use to bake a cake? Sugar. I'm going to use sugar, and I'm going to make this amazing cake. And you're going to want a piece of this cake because it tastes so good. But what if I put a little bit of dog poop in that cake? I mean, it's got the icing, it's got sugar, it's got eggs, it's got flowers, it looks great, there's birthday cake, there's candles on it, it looks amazing, but it's just got a little bit of dog poop in it. What's the problem? Y'all are making too much of a deal about the dog poop in the cake. But we do this, and that's how we justify our sins. That's how we justify things like this. We make excuses for them. And here's the deal. Behind every sin is a lie about God. There's a lie about God. Author Tim Chester says it this way. We exchange the truth about God for a lie. And because we do not believe in God as we should, something else comes to matter more to us than God. Sin is always the result of misplaced affections. I'm going to say that again. Sin is always the result of misplaced affections. Sin makes promises. And when we believe those promises, we think sin offers more than God. And this lie warps our affections, our love, our delight, our fear, and our hopes becomes misplaced. And that's what the enemy wants to do with pornography. He wants to use it to draw us away from a relationship with God. He wants our affections to be misplaced. He wants to break the relationship in a home between a husband and wife with misplaced affections. He wants to destroy relationships as we know it. That's the plan. So the devil tempts us to go outside of God's plan for satisfaction and pleasure. He wants us to think that instant gratification is better than God's plan. And here's the reality, folks. The reality is God's plan is enough. God's plan is better. God's plan is enough. God's word, his promises are better. And call me old-fashioned if you want. I'll be old-fashioned. But God's plan is better. James says it like this. James says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust or his desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Perfect example of this in the Bible is with King David. King David, if you know anything about King David, God calls him the apple of his eye. He loved King David. But one day King David went out onto his balcony, and the Bible says that this was during the time when kings went out to war. And King David didn't go out to war with his troops. And he was standing on his balcony, and he was looking around, and a young woman caught his eye named Bathsheba. She was bathing. And David should have turned away. It wasn't his wife. David didn't turn away. Not only did David not turn away, he committed adultery with her. Then Bathsheba got pregnant, and he tried to hide that sin, and he couldn't hide it. And so he had Bathsheba's husband killed, murdered. Uriah the Hittite was his name. And Uriah, the thing that gets me about this story, the thing that hurts the most about this story, is that Uriah was one of his mighty men. Uriah was a brother to him. Uriah was one of those that were in the caves when David was fighting for his life. Uriah was by his side. So this sin, just like the scripture said, lust, desires, enticement. And then when desire was conceived, it gave birth to sin. And sin, when it was full grown, it brought forth death. It cost him so much. It cost him his peace. It cost him peace in his kingdom. It cost him it cost him a child. It cost him so much. It cost too much. It cost too much. In fact, pornography is a problem because it does. It costs too much. It's too expensive. What do you mean, Pastor Will? Why? What are you saying? How do you even know how expensive pornography is? Well, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. In fact, it's suggested that the porn industry makes more money than all professional sports combined. But here's the deal. It costs much more than money, because it will cost you your marriage. It will cost you relationships and future relationships. It will cost you trust and integrity. It will rob you of peace and rob you of joy, because it's a counterfeit. It's a lie. It's a fake. Why is it counterfeit? Because it's an unrealistic depiction of intimacy with no relationship, no commitment. It's what you want when you want it, and it's intimacy through counterfeit methods, and it just doesn't work. So Satan says this. Satan says, this is so much better than marriage. He says, this is real intimacy. God is just being unreasonable. He's withholding things from you. The truth of people that are addicted to pornography, they lack adult emotional closeness and relationships. And they remain unsatisfied. They start wondering what is wrong with their real relationships. What in their spouse no longer appeals to them. And their song, that you lost your love and feeling, or the flame has gone out. There's no more attraction. They just don't add up. And how could they add up to a counterfeit, to a lie? So they end up feeling emotionally empty and disconnected from those around them. And they start looking around for something else to satisfy me. And so instead of looking to their spouse, they'll say the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And looking on the other side of the fence, the grass might be greener, but the water bill is too expensive. So pornography is too expensive. It's too expensive for anyone, married or single. And I want to spend just a few minutes here talking about our eyes. We've always heard that saying that the eyes are the windows of your soul. Has anybody heard that before? The eyes are the windows of your soul. There's a song by Casting Crown that's called A Slow Fade. It's a great song. It's got some lyrics I'd like to read to you. It says, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It says, be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's the second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. King David wishes he didn't take that second glance. There's another person in the Bible, Job. Everybody's heard about Job. And Job was an amazing man, an amazing man. When I read this scripture, it just showed me his heart for God. Job 31:1 said this. Job says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. Job made a covenant with his eyes. His relationship was so strong with God that he made a covenant with his eyes. That's an agreement. That's a contract with his eyes. And sometimes our heart is further along than our eyes, and our eyes have not yet caught up with our heart, and our heart wanting to be pure. And so Job made a contract with his eyes, because it all starts with our eyes. I want to say something today, that my eyes are only for my wife, Tabitha. And Tabitha's eyes are only for me. Right? But there's sometimes when my eyes want a second glance, when they shouldn't. Sometimes I'm talking to somebody and they're wearing something that's ridiculous. So I've got to talk to him, hey, how are you doing? That is an interesting outfit that you're wearing. Hello. Okay, thank you. But I've got this thought that it's kind of in my head, and you might laugh at it. But I had to train my eyes. I had to train my eyes. Like Job had a covenant with his eyes, I had to train my eyes. And so if my eyes want a second look at something, I say something really quick in my head. It's not mine. Not mine. And I'm not my own. I'll say that very quickly. Not mine. Not my own. And what that means is, if it's not my wife, she's not mine. And I'm not my own. Because I belong to Jesus. And he bought me with a high price. And I want to honor Jesus with my heart. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I have a confession to make. I wish I could stand up here and say that I've never had a problem with wandering eyes, or a problem with pornography. But that would be a big, fat lie. I had to ask God to heal me. I had to ask God to restore me, to forgive me, to give me strength, to help me with my eyes. I had to make a covenant with my eyes. And I starved my eyes only for her. And Tabitha, you deserve all of my heart. And your spouse deserves all of your heart. Your future spouse deserves all of your heart. Jesus deserves all of our hearts. Pure hearts. In closing, you may not have any issues at all with pornography. And if you don't, praise God. Praise God. But I can tell you this, someone you know does. It might be your husband, or it might be your wife. It might be your children or child. It might be your nephew, but so many people do. But I have good news for you today. Jesus has a better plan. And I stand up here. Come on, it's okay to give God some praise this morning. I want to tell you that I stand up here, and I've been on both ends of this battle. I've been in part of the battle where I didn't think I could ever get out of it. I felt trapped. I felt like it was hopeless. Jesus came in and gave me grace. He forgave me. He filled me with his spirit, which gave me power to overcome things I'd never be able to overcome without him. He showed me so much grace and so much mercy, and he forgave me over and over and over again. And he brought alongside me mighty men that encouraged me. He gave me tools. I read a book that changed my life. It was called Every Man's Battle. Changed my life. God is able to give you freedom over anything that you face. If there's something that is binding you, I want to tell you today that Jesus has overcome it. Jesus has overcome death, hell, and the grave. Jesus can heal your marriage. Jesus can heal the intimacy in your marriage. Jesus can make you fall in love with your spouse over again. Only Jesus can do this. And it's a battle. You got to choose to win. You got to choose to follow God hard. There's going to be a lot of grace needed, a lot of mercy needed, but God is able. And with God, all things are possible. Amen. Can we close our eyes? We're going to pray. God, we give you all the glory today. God, you're a mighty God. You're a loving God. And God, you knew that when we couldn't hold up our end of the bargain, you held up both ends for us. And God, so many times you heal us. So many times we have misplaced affections. But today, God, we want to bring our hearts back to you. We want to bring our minds back to you. And Lord, today we're gonna start turning things off and turning away from things and stop giving things second glances. We're gonna look to you, God, for strength. We're gonna look to you, God, for mercy. And God, you're a healer. God, we give you all of the glory. We give you all of the honor. And we magnify your precious holy name. And we just thank you today, God. We thank you for grace. We thank you for the work of the cross, that it was perfect. We thank you, God, that you conquered death, hell, and the grave so that we could too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, let's clap our hands right now and thank God for what he's doing in our midst. This week, we're going to be posting on our city network, our online community, some resources. If you know somebody or you yourself need some help with some online tools, we're going to be posting those on our internet website and the city to help you with some online tools to help you with this specific need. If you are here today and you would like to connect with someone in prayer, please look in the seat in front of you. There's one of these envelopes that is a great way to connect with one of our prayer leaders this week. So if you give us a little bit of information about yourself, and on the inside of it, you can actually fill out a prayer card and give us a specific need that you might have in regards to the message or just in regards to life in general, and we would love to contact you. But most of all, we want to pray for you this week. And so this is what this card is all about for the first time folks, new folks here at Promised Land. Here in a second, all of our regular attenders will be giving their tithes and offerings, and a plate will be going by. And at that time, those of you that have filled out this as a guest card or a prayer card, a prayer need, you can place this in the plate as it goes by. So we're so thankful to have you with us. Some first-time guests here, welcome. And we're just getting warmed up with the You Asked For It sermon series. Last week, we talked about salvation. This week, we talked about pornography. Next week, we're going to be dealing with the question of why do bad things happen to good people? Why is pain and suffering allowed in the world today? If God is a good God, how could that be? The week after that is Mother's Day. We're going to be talking about women. Yeah. Women and men and gender roles. We had a lot of questions about gender and women and men, all that kind of stuff. That'll be Mother's Day. And then the week after that, I'll be speaking on homosexuality. And so I'm going to take that one for you, Will. All right. So you don't have to take that one. And then the final week will be a week of quick topic, quick answers. A lot. We're going to be answering a lot of different kinds of questions on the final day. All right, we're going to take this opportunity to give our finances. I want to ask the ushers to come on down. We're going to be dismissing here in the next couple minutes. But before we do, this is a very, very important thing to express our worship and our allegiance to God is to financially give to Him. So I want to challenge you to prepare an offering to God in the month of May. On the screen are some ways that you can prepare right now if you're available to do that. Cash, check, bank card, all that. If you're giving today, you can use that same envelope that we talked to the other folks about on the inside is a place for you to fill out your giving information. If you want to give us a card to do that with, a debit card, bank card. You can also give by texting. You can give online. That's how Erica and I give. She gives via texting. I give via our online options. So you can go to our website, psmchurch.com, for those. This is May, tomorrow. Tomorrow will be May, beginning of the month. Many of you get paid the beginning. So why don't you take something, take a percentage, and you and your family can decide what that is, and say, before we do anything else, we're going to give this to God first as a sign of our love, our faith. And let's see what happens, not just with your finances, but with your whole life, when you turn that over to Him. He does amazing things with it. So let's bow our heads. Let's pray for our gifts today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for the ability to give today financially. Of our resources, you've given us jobs, promotions, bonuses, commissions. You've given us salaries and hourly wages. You've given us settlements and all kinds of things, inheritance. You're the giver of all good things, Lord. We take our moment now, our time now, to return back to you a portion of that which you've given to us as a sign of our love and our devotion and our dependence upon you. We believe that right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. They're going to pass these plates by, and so those of you that are giving, go ahead and put that in there. Guests, put these envelopes. Let me tell you a couple of things as they're doing that. At the end of every service, we offer prayer at the front. Maybe you've come in here today and you would like to give your heart to God for the very first time, or recommit your life to God. God's stirring in your heart and you just want to pray with somebody about that. Come on down to the front and meet with one of our small group leaders, our pastors, our ministers. We'd love to pray with you today for whatever need that you might have. Also, we're baptizing today. So if you'd like to be baptized into the family, you've never been baptized, water baptized, or maybe you were baptized years ago and don't remember it, or it wasn't your choice. Somebody told you to be baptized, and now you believe it in Jesus for your own self. Come on and get rebaptized today. We provide the clothes, the towels, everything you need to be baptized today. And one final announcement before you go. Wednesday night is May the 3rd, the first Wednesday night of the month. And we are going to be gathering as a church family at Embassy Suites. And when I say church family, I'm not talking about Promised Land. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ in San Marcos, meaning all the congregations. San Marcos Community, Hill Country, Greater Bethel, Sozo. I mean, the list goes on and on. Icon will be there. Promised Land is honored to participate and be one of the sponsors of this event. In fact, your giving is going to be providing the rental space that night. Promised Land is sponsoring the rental space. We have reserved 1,000 seats this year that we believe are going to be filled with people from all these different congregations. It's a night of praise and prayer. That's it. We're going to sing some songs, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to go home. It'll be 1 hour long. Kids, adults, everybody's together, and it's a short, impactful night. So come on out and join with other brothers and sisters, and it's going to be a wonderful time. 7 p.m. Embassy Suite Conference Center, and come ready. How many of y'all been to that event before? Raise your hand. Come on now. Everybody else that has not raised your hand, this is the year for you to get in on this. It really, really is a special time. And every time we've done this, is our fourth year in a row to do this. Every time everybody leaves and goes, why don't we do this more often? Why couldn't this have gone longer? I mean, everybody's just like, oh, this was so good. So don't miss it. Here it comes. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful week. We love y'all so much. Go with the Lord. We'll see you Wednesday night.